Boy, does this put you in the mood or what?
Yes, it does. Sing it, Wendy.
It's beginning to look a lot.
I didn't know what it was. Sorry. I'm not opposed to singing. I just didn't know the intro to this.
These people have come here for one reason and one reason only, to hear you sing this song, Wendy. Take it away.
No.
Okay. Hey, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. We're at Tree Time Christmas Creations. Listen to this crowd. Listen to this crowd. They came in, Wendy, and you said to me, these people look unruly, but no, they're nice people, Wendy. They're wonderful people. 22102 North Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. If you're anywhere near the area, please, by all means, stop by. I know the kids are on strike. Drop them off. We'll take care of them for the next few hours.
It's not funny.
You can have candy canes and eggnog, everything that kids love, Wendy. It'll be great. Several people have already said, for those of you who don't know, yesterday Wendy was concerned about her hair color, but several people have already said, you look fantastic.
Thank you.
Not everybody. There were a couple
right,
people who
I
said
know,
the other.
That's fine. Yeah, people. I've decided to just live with it for 6 weeks till I get it colored again.
Doesn't it look, so, I know whatever. People at home can't see it, but the people here at Tree Time, looks fantastic, does it not?
I just would like to look more like a Christmas trollop.
Two words you rarely hear together, but you pull that off.
I like more blonde, but whatever. It's fall. It's my autumnal hair.
Yep.
You're looking pretty dapper your own self today.
Thank you. Listen to the crowd there.
You got nothing.
A lot of people squinting.
You know, there is a new setup if you come out to see us at Tree Time, which I hope you do. We'll be out here till 1 this afternoon. You have to, like, meander through the lovely Christmas trees to get to the back center of the store.
Yes.
I like the setup better because, boy, you can see a lot of things you'd like to purchase. I've already got my little pile together of what I'm going to buy.
I noticed. Yeah.
Are you shopping?
Yeah. At some point, I will shop. But you notice, Wendy, every year they move us just a little bit, right? The first year we were by the cash registers, then we were in the corner, then we were on that side, and then this side. What's up? What's going on?
Next year we're in the parking lot.
Yes.
I have a feeling.
Wear your coats next year, everybody. Where's the furthest anyone came from today?
Wisconsin.
I saw somebody with an Australia sweatshirt, but you're not from Australia, right? You just wanted to win a prize. It doesn't work that way, but if there was a prize, we would give you a prize.
You drove all the way in from Wisconsin?
Oh, thank you
very much.
What
is your name? Beth is here from Wisconsin. Beth, did you drive here alone?
Wow.
Look at that. I wouldn't even do that.
Oh, that's so nice, Beth.
Beth is our biggest fan.
Thank you very much. That's very, very kind.
Would you drive all the way from Wisconsin to see us?
Nope, Beth, I would not.
We're glad you did,
You're going to be horribly disappointed by the end of this afternoon. what did you see? Have you already seen? I know there's a small pile of things you've already put together.
I just like spherical-shaped things. That's the word of the day.
We had to change that from dress rehearsal, didn't we? Yeah.
But I just do. You know, you put them in a tray.
What will you do with this? What will happen with that at your house?
I'm just going to put it on the dining room table. There are three, I guess, what do you call
them? What would you refer to those as?
I don't know. Fake planty things.
Yeah, fake planty things.
Like small tumbleweeds.
Yeah.
That's what they're like in different sizes. You got to go with the odd number of three. I'm going to put it on my dining room table for Thanksgiving. I just think that would be pretty.
It was explained to us by Lori, who will be on in a little bit, one of the owners of Tree Time, that you always want, if you're displaying things, there's a rule of three, but I can't remember the reason why.
It just looks more pleasing to the eye. You don't want everything matchy-matchy. That's why we have Jasmine Cooper here, our producer, so there's three of us
now. Right. Yep. So you will treat those as small tumbleweeds. You'll have some sort of a Western motif in your house. You'll dress like a cowboy, and Jimmy Mack will just throw the tumbleweed past.
Maybe.
Wah, wah, wah. You'll hear that in the background.
Yes. I'll wear a poncho, maybe.
Oh, you have to wear a poncho, Wendy, a Christmas poncho.
And I found a little stocking for Kona the dog. I had a stocking for him last year, and I embroidered his name on it, but I don't like it. So I'm getting a new one.
What? Oh, how exciting for him.
This is a really cute stocking with little paw prints and bones on it, and I think this one's cuter.
Yeah. And what will you give him as a gift to fill that stocking, have you decided?
Just treats.
Yeah. Is he religious? Does he celebrate the holidays?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
That's excellent. That's good. I don't know. I'm not a pet person, but I can see where that would be a good gift for him.
Well,
that's
you hang the stockings on your mantle, don't you?
Yeah.
Right by the fireplace?
Yeah.
You didn't have one for the rabbit?
No.
God rest its soul.
No. A moment of silence.
What was the rabbit's name?
I don't remember. I know that seems cold and calculated. It was my daughter's rabbit, and I think it might have just been called Rabbit, I think. I don't know.
You guys are very creative over at the Left House.
Yeah, it took weeks to come up with the name Rabbit. It really did.
Did anyone bring a Christmas tree to trade in here at Tree Time? If you didn't today, that's okay. I know we were the prize. That's why you came here. But you can stop by any Goodwill store all through the month of October. They do such a great job getting them refurbished, I guess, cleaning them up, making them look great.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on to people who really couldn't afford a Christmas tree. So you're kind of helping in many ways.
Right. One of the guests today, Pat Bolter, has been on with us in the past. She'll come on and she'll explain the whole process. You have the whole month of October to do this, right?
Right. And if you bring it to Tree Time, you can do it all through the month of October as well. You guys are already here. And if you are here at the broadcast, you get a nice little discount today. Lou Malnati's will be providing lunch, and Nothing Bundt Cakes is here as well.
We mentioned that to the crowd earlier, and the crowd said collectively, we're here to see you guys, Wendy and Bill. We don't care if there's pizza. We don't care if there's Bundt Cakes. That was very kind of all of you to say.
You don't believe that.
Even if it didn't happen. It was very kind of people to think. All right, a full show. We're so glad that you're here. We're glad that you're listening. Now, if you think about it, you're spending about 8 hours a day or so in bed. That's a third of your life, so it follows that you spend a third of your life in your sheets, right? Right. Those kinds of numbers demand quality sheets. So sleep well, everybody, on hotel-quality sheets that don't cost you an arm and a leg, all from brooklinen.com. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets that I've ever slept on. No exaggeration. I can't wait to get to bed and hit those Brooklinen sheets. Their towels have turned my bathroom into a spa. I can't recommend them more. They're great for friends, for family, or just treating yourself to the upgrade that you deserve. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer right now only for our listeners. You'll get 10% off and free shipping just by using the promo code Bill at Brooklinen.com. They're so confident in their product, all their sheets, comforters, and towels all come with a lifetime warranty. But the only way to get 10% off and free shipping is by using that promo code Bill at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen, I'll spell it, BROOKLINEN.com. The promo code is Bill. I can't spell that. Brooklinen, these are the best sheets ever.
Are you going to sing this one? Rocking around
Christmas. This is I've Peggy been told, Lee. This is Peggy Lee, Wendy. But I've been told to not sing.
She's so got a husky voice,
yes,
doesn't she?
Yes, she does.
I like it.
Yes.
We are broadcasting live from Tree Time. It's the Goodwill Tree Trade-In Program, sponsored by Goodwill and, of course, Tree Time. All during the month of October, you can donate your artificial Christmas tree, and you'll be helping to give back to others in your community. And the reason we're here today is because Joe and Lori Kane have this awesome place, and it's called Tree Time Christmas Creations. Hi, Joe. Hi, Lori.
Good morning. Hi, guys. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having us. Greatly appreciated.
We're so happy to be invited back every year, so thanks for having us.
We love having you. You guys are the best.
That's why we keep making you big new spaces.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
If now, you notice, the first time you came, it was a card. You know, you were talking about this. The first time it was like a card table. And
yeah.
It was nicer. And now we've given you this big, fancy space with lighting above and everything.
It's amazing.
So we're not putting you in the parking lot.
I don't think we're hearing Joe on the air, to be honest with you. And now there's an air raid siren.
Oh, no, Wendy. So this is
have you got me now?
The nicest thing is when you walk in, and I've mentioned this before, the second you walk in the door here, it feels like it's holiday time. Like if you didn't feel it when you were out in the parking lot, as soon as you walk in, it just blitzes you.
It's the wow factor.
Yeah, it's the wow factor.
How many days till Christmas? Who knows? Anyone? Because I haven't done the math. I don't do math, just in case.
For us, it's one long day.
We always talk about new trends with you guys, so give us a trend or two of what's coming up for this particular Christmas that you can purchase here.
Well, you know, one of the things we started doing in the last few years is color-changing lights on trees, and we talked about this with you. You've got the issues going on with the family and multi and clear.
Yeah.
We've actually improved and changed that concept even more this year, so we've always done our own special lighting, but this year we did a special light set that we can do not just clear and multi, but a cool pastel multi in between the two.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So, yeah, that on all of our new color change trees this year, you can go clear, multi, pastel multi.
Yeah.
And you can set your tree to have 10% of the bulbs just randomly twinkle. So it's like starlight in the tree.
Oh, that's excellent. Away.
And we are the only ones in the world that I know of that have done something like that. It's a true Tree Time exclusive.
There is a tree topper, a couple of them that I'm looking at, and listeners at home, you're not seeing them, but they look like a giant snowflake on top of the tree. Stars are pretty, but that is like the... Like, I can't even describe it. That's a tree topper?
A very magical look, Joe.
And you notice a big one and a little one.
Yes.
We did those last year, and they were so popular that I think they were completely sold out by November 1st. So if you want one of those, you got to get a hold of it.
Joe is walking around the audience much the way Phil Donahue did for years.
So I'm like working the room.
That's excellent. That's excellent.
Cut him off.
For people who don't know what Joe's referring to with the color changing, you know how you always have a fight with whoever you love? Oh, we should get white lights. No, we should get colored lights. Joe and his staff have figured out a way to combine both. You can switch it up anytime you want. That's amazing. That's fantastic.
It's just the press of a button, so you can sit there and argue just by remote.
Yeah. It's easier.
Now, Lori, I have talked to you in the past. I can't remember how many trees I have. We have a Star Wars tree, the main tree.
The bathroom tree.
We do have a bathroom tree, and Cassie is your designer here. And I'll let you describe this.
Well, Cassie, very appropriately, she remembered, Wendy, that one of your trees is in the bathroom. So
just a little one.
Just a little guy. But that's a favorite place we have. And so more trees, the better. So she has given Wendy a beautiful little poop emoji ornament.
It's a Santa poop.
It's a Santa poop.
Bill, don't even look embarrassed.
How soon for lunch, everybody? I'm starving.
You're such a baby. There are ornaments aplenty. Are there any Bears fans out there?
Woo!
Blackhawks fans? White Sox fans,
woo!
Cubs fans, Ernie, I don't even want to say it, but if you're a Green Bay Packer fan, whatever. Okay, there's one person that stood up.
No?
You better watch your back.
Beth from Wisconsin did not applaud for the Green Bay Packers. Surprising.
The ornaments, I can't even tell you what a selection. You know what I'm looking for? A horse ornament. Do you have any horse ornaments?
Oh, we do. We are in horse country. We have a lot of horse ornaments.
Mr. Ed is Wendy's secret Santa this year, so that's very good news.
My sister has a horse, and her birthday's coming up, so I wanted to shop early.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah. I'm noticing, and it's not the first year I've noticed this, but it seems to be getting bigger and better, a lot of silver and gold, your classic colors. I know
say
red and
like
green.
Say it like you're supposed to say silver.
Silver and gold, silver and gold. I know red and green are the official colors of Christmas, but there's something very old-worldly about the silvers and the golds.
Yeah, and one of our favorite things that you're doing now is kind of like your clothes, you can mix them. So you no longer have to say, oh, I only want silver on my tree, or I only want gold. You can mix silver and gold, or we have this new color that's actually one of our most popular colors. It's called platinum, which you guys might have heard of, and it's a combination of silver and gold and works with either.
In one color.
In one color.
Yeah, it works pretty nice.
Very nice.
I didn't realize that's what platinum was.
Oh, yeah. Wendy,
it's the bridge between silver and gold.
Right.
So you buy that, and you don't have to decide.
Yeah, yeah. So why is it when something like silver and gold, which has always existed, why does that come back into vogue? What happens there exactly? Is it just the nostalgia factor?
Why have 70s clothes come back?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it's,
and
it's
where can I get some of those in here? I want to buy some 70s
clothes. Look next to you.
No, but actually what it's really all about is tradition with the Christmas side of life.
Yeah.
You know, we all hearken for the things that we woke up to as kids, right?
Sure.
So that's why you kind of see these cycles come back around.
Yeah.
What does your home look like? I'm just curious. Because
completely undecorated.
I believe it, because you spend all your time here, and I can't imagine you're going to want to go home and decorate everything.
Our house used to be the house in the neighborhood that everybody was afraid to walk up to for Halloween, that everybody wanted to walk up to for Christmas, and now you can't tell anybody lives there.
Really?
Sorry.
Well, unfortunately, we live here and we have lots of trees. So we tell the kids, we need to come open a presents at work.
Yeah.
Right. That's so funny. And, you know, people will hear of an artificial Christmas tree and think, oh, they're all the same. Joe, when I was here and Lori picking out a tree, I was going back and forth between two different styles. They really are different and intricate and look so lifelike. How do you do that?
Well, what we actually are doing in the design of the trees is trying to give you options for decorating and trying to do so in mimicking certain looks from nature. So when you look at the trees, we actually have branches that are molded from original branches that we've taken out of trees, and we build molds so they can completely exactly duplicate it. And then we'll arrange those in the tree in particular ways to give you options for big ornaments or lots of little ornaments. So we're trying to merge both decorating styles and tree appearances together in one. And that's why you're seeing so many options, because when you start looking at all the different variations, the factories think I'm insane. I go over there, and I took over one of our new design people in the last couple of years, this last year, and I got to a tree, and I didn't like the way the first prototype was done. Mm-hmm. So I said, give me the wire cutters. And the little wire cutters weren't big enough, because some of these wires are big in these trees. So then they got the bolt cutters, and I started lopping off certain parts of the tree. I'm like, this is what we want it to look like.
And they were calling him Edward Scissorhands.
But see, I like a tree with a lot of space, because I like to put the ornaments up in there.
Yep. And that's what I was doing with that new design, was giving it that space. And that's what it's all about, is you, just like you saw when you were choosing that tree that first time, there's that open style. There are three or four different shapes of open styles and different needles with the open styles. So it gives you an option to really get what you want for your own home. And I don't know anywhere else but Tree Time that you can get that kind of diversity.
Yeah.
Options.
And we need to explain this. A lot of people, whenever we do this broadcast, it's always about mid-October. People always go, oh, that's kind of too early to be thinking about the holidays. It's not, because you have a fixed amount of items. At some point, you're going to sell out. So the sooner you come in, the better, correct?
Our customers that are every year customers that we absolutely adore, so if you're one of those, please come back again. But they come in immediately when we open after the Labor Day holiday.
Yeah.
So we open the day after Labor Day every year. And they know that if they want the best selection, that's when they have to come in and get
yep.
it. Because we start getting shopped over by this time of year. We actually had somebody come in, and the big center tree,
yeah.
somebody bought everything on the center tree, so we had to redecorate it.
Everything?
They
wow.
bought the center tree.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you also do the Goodwill Tree Trade-In Program, and we are going to talk about that later on today. Joe and Lori Kane, owners of Tree Time Christmas Creations, we are so glad you're out here today. And if you're listening, come on out. We'll be here till 1, 22102 North Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. You can also go to treetime.com and follow them on social media.
Yeah, one little tidbit
mm-hmm.
for you guys only, because
mm-hmm.
we never do this.
Mm-hmm.
There is, for the Goodwill trade-in, there's a 15% discount on a new tree, or $75 on select trees.
Today only.
No, that's all the time for the Goodwill
tree trade-in.
But for you, for today only, anybody that's here for the broadcast, so if they get here, they'll get a coupon for 15% off anything in the store.
Oh, excellent.
So that's good. Something we've never done before, and it's specifically celebrating your time here with us today.
We appreciate it. Thank you, Joe.
All right. Well, we're going to do some news, and I'm going to do more shopping then, because there's a nice little discount. Thank you so much to Joe and Lori. Thank you, guys. We're going to take a break. We're going to do some news, and I guess it's news time right now here on 720 WGN.
Thanks, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're at Tree Time Christmas Creations in Lake Barrington. The crowd's nuts, Wendy. The crowd's out of their mind. They know there's pizza coming. They don't care.
Listen, I'm telling you, when you walk in here, it just makes you so happy to think about Christmas. Because as Christmas gets closer, you start panicking. You got to buy stuff.
Sure.
And I like wrapping presents. That's actually pretty fun for
mm-hmm.
me. But just coming in here, the pressure's off.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can just
right.
look at how beautiful everything is. And I know we're here to celebrate Christmas, but Halloween is right around the corner, and they have some Halloween decorations in the very front of the store. I may purchase some of those as well.
Mm-hmm.
And autumnal things, lots of pumpkins. And there were, I found this online about the origins behind Halloween things, like a jack-o'-lantern. Do you know how that began?
I have no idea how that began, no.
Gather around, fellow boosters. You will love this story.
Oh, all right.
The name jack-o'-lantern comes from an Irish myth in which a man called Stingy Jack...
Oh, Stingy Jack.
...tricks the devil.
I think he's here. Where are you, Stingy? No, he's hiding, Wendy. Stingy Jack is hiding.
So Stingy Jack tricks the devil and ends up condemned to walk the earth, unable to get into heaven or hell.
No.
Now, according to the tale, the original lantern was a carved-out turnip.
Not a pumpkin,
no,
but a turnip.
That Jack used to light his way as he wandered in the dark. When Irish immigrants brought this story to America, they discovered that pumpkins native to their new home made an even spookier candle
yep,
holder.
Than a turnip.
Did you ever put a candle in your pumpkin?
Yeah, I've had a candle in my pumpkin.
And a
Happiest night of my life.
Yeah, okay. Stingy Bill. Stingy Bill.
As I was known back then, yes.
Didn't that start a fire? We have never put a candle, even growing up. My dad rigged this little light bulb that we would put in there, and it wouldn't touch the side of the pumpkin.
That's the key.
Yeah.
You want to have enough space between the candle and the pumpkin.
But there's a lit flame in there.
Yeah, but there's enough space if done properly. Back in the turnip days, it was more of a risk. But with a pumpkin, you've got ample space.
I can't even imagine trying to carve a turnip.
No, that's ridiculous.
I mean, even a giant turnip is not really that
big.
It's
not big enough. No, they made the right call switching to a pumpkin.
When's the last time you carved a pumpkin, honestly?
4 or 5 years ago? It's been a while.
Since the kids have grown up, I don't
carve. There's no more reason.
Isn't that just sad?
It's messy.
A sound of applause by anyone from anyone who still carves a pumpkin.
Just Ernie, who works on the show. Yeah, that's it.
I'm just curious. Your kids?
Yeah, the kids love it.
Four pumpkins.
Yeah.
I like when they do like scenes on it, but that kind of defeats the purpose. You're supposed to make a face.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the work is super beautiful, but I'm going to carve a turnip later on.
Okay. That'll be fun.
All right, zombies. Any Walking Dead fans out there? Sound of applause. No. Bill, you and I.
We're the only ones, obviously.
All right, well, zombies are very popular, and the creatures of movies galore are Haitian in origin.
Oh.
Animated corpses raised by voodoo priests. Once reanimated, the zombies would remain under the control of this priest and do their bidding. The creatures first entered widespread popular culture in the book The Magic Island by William Seabrook. 3 years later, in the film White Zombie, and through our modern zombieism, we like The Walking Dead. It's all over the place now.
The early zombies did not, because I used to watch the old movies with zombies, they weren't your brain-eating zombies. They would just kind of walk around in a trance.
Like Night of the Living Dead.
They were more of a nuisance than they were a risk.
And you could escape them, then.
Yeah, you could just, you know, they were moving at 1/2 mile an hour, you could outrun them.
What about mummies?
I'm going to chalk this up again to Stingy Jack.
In ancient Egypt, mummification was a type of body preservation. It was thought to be developed by people looking to mimic the way the desert kept bodies from decaying. And then, as all things Egyptian skyrocketed in Europe during the 19th century, the mummy and its supposed curse became a standard horror trope.
Yeah.
And there's something else mummy-related.
Would you agree with me that of your major monsters, your vampires, Frankensteins, werewolves, and mummies, the mummy was the least imposing, wouldn't you say?
That was a real slow mover.
Yeah.
I'm not very fast, and I could even escape.
You could outrun a mummy, Wendy, in a minute.
The mummies, I don't know.
It's not that scary. It's just a bandage.
That's kind of scary. Mm. You just see eyes.
Yeah.
Bandages all over
bandages.
The place. A lot
of bandages. Yep.
Trick-or-treating. I often wondered how that came about. Mumming, or going around the neighborhood in costume and saying specific lines in exchange for food, has been a staple of certain holidays since the Middle Ages. This custom first applied to Halloween in 16th century Scotland, and it was called guising.
Oh.
The term trick-or-treat wasn't used until the 1930s and is decidedly American. So the Scottish gave us trick-or-treating, the Irish gave us pumpkins and Stingy Jack.
Stingy Jack, yeah.
Did we have anything that was our doing?
I don't think so. No, we've just stolen from other cultures. That's our job. I always thought it was weird that throughout the year, your parents will tell the kids, do not take candy from strangers. But then on Halloween, you encourage your kid to go door to door to strangers' houses and get as much candy as you can. It just seems flawed, doesn't it?
It does seem flawed. But see, when this started out, I'm trying to think back when I was a little kid going trick-or-treating. We just kind of went around our block. I'm not talking like junior high.
Yeah.
But you went around your block and your neighbors, and 9 out of 10 times you knew the people you were trick-or-treating at.
Sure.
Now, kids just go out for hours and hours until the villages put a restriction on it.
But did you guys all do this? You always knew where the rich people lived, and at the end of the day, you drive to where the rich people lived? Yeah. That's the best. They would give out huge monster-sized candy bars. Not the fun-sized. That's not fun. Bigger is fun. Little is stingy. Stingy Jack. Give me a bigger candy bar, Stingy Jack.
Have you ever given out full-size candy bars?
Yes, we have.
You're lying.
No, we
you're
have.
You're just trying to look like you're
we have.
Rich.
We have. And we gave out boats one year, too. Everyone got a pontoon boat.
Because if, I mean, we must have 100 kids that come to our house.
Yeah.
We can't afford to give out full size.
The cost adds up. Well, you know, you buy gently used candy bars. You give those out. Go to Marshall's or TJ Maxx, pick some up.
That is a fallacy, Bill. Marshall's and TJ Maxx
They're
is not
now,
a
right.
regular
now it's
anymore.
Not, now it's nicer stuff.
When our we're about the same age. Okay, I'm 6 months older, and he never lets me forget that.
Yeah, it's a big 6 months, Wendy.
You know, our moms used to go to Marshall's.
Right.
TJ Maxx wasn't around then. It was
right.
just Marshall's, I think.
Yep.
And it would say right on the tag, slightly irregular.
Remember that?
So you'd hold up a shirt, and it's true. You'd see one sleeve was a little bit shorter
right.
than the other.
Right.
But you'd
slightly
still buy
irregular.
It because you were saving great amounts of money.
Yeah,
it's
true.
Not like that anymore.
No, it's on the up and up now.
There are some other things. Poltergeist, they have a huge list of Halloween things.
Where does Poltergeist come from? Germany. I'm going to guess Germany by the name.
Very good. It means noisy ghost.
Hmm.
In German.
You would be a great poltergeist.
I knew you were going to say that.
You'd be like Hall of Fame ballot poltergeist.
It's usually a spirit that haunts a person rather than a location. They usually express their anger through the disruption of the household, slamming doors, moving chairs, and other objects. Again, much like me.
Yeah, right.
That's not a good
day. So far, I thought you were just reading your own biography there.
And even pinching people.
Oh, come on.
Have you ever been pinched by a poltergeist?
Not for air.
Okay. The first investigated cases of poltergeist happened in Scotland and England in the late 1600s and involved enchanted drums, beggars seeking revenge, and devil worship.
Oh, what a combination, enchanted drums and devil worship.
But the famous movie didn't come out until 1982.
The movie Poltergeist, right. That's what made it all popular. But they existed prior. We just didn't know what the word was for it then.
And boo, the word boo.
I don't know where that came from.
And not meaning your baby.
Somebody you love.
Hey,
right,
boo.
Right.
The oldest record in the Old English Dictionary for the modern spelling of boo is found in the writing of two 18th century Scots. Again.
It's always the Scottish.
Gilbert Crocat and John Munro, who said it was used in the north of Scotland to frighten crying children. It is since
why would you do that?
Wide.
Why would you frighten a crying child?
Because maybe they stop crying.
or cry more. I would think.
I don't know.
I would put my money down on cry more.
Well, you're my boo, Bill.
Thank you, Wendy. You're my poltergeist.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
Today's broadcast, live from Tree Time, which you guys are a part of right now, and hopefully listeners listening will come by.
Oh, I just want to point out, you will not be getting Luminati's pizza at home. You have to do that in person. We're not going to deliver it to your homes.
It's the Goodwill Tree Trade-In Program. It's sponsored by Tree Time and Goodwill. And all throughout the month of October, donate your artificial Christmas tree. You'll be helping to give back to others in your community. And we're going to talk about what goes on at Goodwill and how they ready these donated trees to give to other families. We're going to take a quick break. We are live at Tree Time. You guys are all a part of it. It's 720 WGN. Chris, I can't talk over the Beach Boys. Good God.
When?
Christmas comes this time each year.
Yes.
We're a little early, but there's a reason for it. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We are live at Tree Time in Lake Barrington. And Pat Bolter is here. Pat, it is so nice to see you again. You are Chief Marketing Officer at Goodwill, AmazingGoodwill.com. Christmas does come this time each year. I said we're a little early, but there's a reason for it, isn't it?
There sure is. You know, all of our schedules, we all know, get busier and busier as we get closer to the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really a convenient way to kind of spread Goodwill early in the season by donating your tree so somebody else can enjoy it at our Goodwill stores and donation centers. So avoid the holiday rush. It's a wonderful thing to do. You know, Goodwill is all about jobs and training. And when we get the revenue from the sales of those trees in our stores, it gets reinvested in the programs and services that help people get services that they need.
Very nice.
And think about it. I mean, Christmas trees are expensive, and maybe you're cutting corners or don't have enough money. You want to still have a Christmas tree in your house, so that's where you go to Goodwill and pick up a great Christmas tree for a great price.
And they're so affordable at Goodwill, so we encourage everybody. We have, if you go to AmazingGoodwill.com, you'll see all of our Goodwill stores and donation centers. Mm-hmm. And you can either donate a tree at one of our stores or bring it here to Tree Time, and then you get that wonderful coupon to use here at Tree Time. So it's a win-win.
Which trees are eligible for this?
We say gently used trees.
Yeah, you know, define that if you could a little.
Obviously, they have to be functioning and standing and usable by other families.
Yeah.
So please, and all of the trees that we've been getting from this donation drive are in really good shape.
Oh, great.
So
good.
We do appreciate that.
Yeah.
One of the questions to talk to Pat about was, I heard you're celebrating your 100th birthday. You look really good
for
100.
You look great, Pat. You look fantastic.
I try.
Are you moisturizing?
Well, we are celebrating, and we're very excited about it. And so I'm just going to give you a little bit of history on
Goodwill. Please do.
So it was founded in 1902 by a Methodist minister, Edgar J. Helms, in Boston. And the Goodwill here in Milwaukee and Chicago was founded in 1919. And when Helms founded the movement, he was really concerned about the plight of the immigrants that were coming to this country that were very, very poor. And so the story goes that he took burlap bags, put them over his shoulder, went into the affluent neighborhoods. You know, you guys talked about going to those places for your trick-or-treat candy.
Full-size candy bars,
He had the same idea. He put those burlap bags over his shoulder, went into the wealthier parts of Boston, collected goods. Textiles, household items.
Just ringing their doorbell and saying, is there anything you'd like to clean out of your house?
Right.
Anything you're not using?
And help others, all the immigrants that were coming. And so the story goes that he took them to the basement of a church, and he invited all these folks to come and take whatever they wanted. And they all kind of just stood there, and they didn't move. And he looked around and said, well, go ahead. You know, you guys, all of you need these items.
Right.
Please, you know, take what you need. And they said, we don't want a handout. And so it's not charity, but a chance, not a handout, but a hand up. And that was how the movement was formed. And so we're all about giving people the dignity and the independence that comes when they find that job.
That is a pretty incredible story.
Very noble.
I mean, there weren't very many Goodwills around years ago. I used to go to get shoulder-padded jackets and funky clothes during the 80s. It was, like, very exciting to go to Goodwill, and there were only a handful of them. It has expanded so much. I have found some of my china where I have broken a plate. I have found wine goblets, great clothes. Goodwill has come so far.
Yeah, we have almost in our service territory like 70 locations now.
70 within
our part of Wisconsin and Illinois.
Oh, that's excellent.
So, and you know, you can always find some great deals and lots of brand name items for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
And what's so neat about Goodwill, shopping at Goodwill, is that our inventory is very dynamic, which means the merchandise is changing all the time. And, you know, you can go there, you really get an adrenaline rush when you find this incredible one-of-a-kind item for pennies on the dollar, you know, that that feeling. Everyone loves to save money, and it's a thrill to do that. And there are lots of wonderful finds at Goodwill.
Yeah.
And the best part is our mission, knowing that basically you are helping the community in two ways. First of all, you know, Goodwill has been green before it became fashionable to be green. And so we keep millions and millions and millions of pounds of items out of landfills. And then what I mentioned earlier, our mission of training and jobs, very, very important in our community. And throughout our 100-year history, we've been successful because we've been responding to the needs of the times.
Yeah.
You know, I have stories and photos as we get ready for our 100th, long lines during the Great Depression looking for jobs, and we gave hundreds of people temporary jobs.
Mm-hmm.
As soldiers were coming back from both world wars and injured, we helped them get the training and the job skills they needed to be able to provide a living for their families. In 2008, 2010, with the Great Recession, we opened up workforce connection centers to provide training and job assistance and resume development when unemployment got to be really high. So our success has been responding to the needs of the times.
That's good to know, because when you go into a Goodwill store, you're not thinking about the backstory of it at all, and what a backstory that is.
It sure is.
It's pretty impressive. So if you're listening at home, you can bring your gently used Christmas tree to any Goodwill location during the month of October. You can also come out to Tree Time. We're here till 1 this afternoon, or any time during the month of October. How many trees have you collected thus far?
So far, I hear we're up to 296.
Yes!
That's wonderful. Woo! Good news. Good news. And I just want to reiterate, bring the stand in with the tree? Because I brought mine into a Goodwill, and they were adamant that the stand needs to be included, so that's part of it. Huh?
Very much so. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Why would you bring it without the stand?
I had the stand in there, but they just wanted to make sure that the stand was in there. So, yeah.
You can purchase a stand, I guess.
They just wanted to make sure they all hook up a little bit differently. Yeah.
How long have you been with Goodwill now?
20 years.
Oh, my God. Oh my gosh. Another round of applause.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's got to make you feel good every day, because really, I didn't know the whole backstory of Goodwill till just today.
Oh, it's wonderful to see how lives are transformed, and we have so many success stories. Too many to mention on a broadcast like this. It could take me days to tell you all about all these lives that have been changed for the good as a result of the services that we provide.
The Amazing Goodwill. You can go to AmazingGoodwill.com. She is Pat Bolter, Chief Marketing Officer at Goodwill, which is celebrating 100 years this year. That is so awesome. Thank you so much,
Pat.
Thank you. Nice
Merry Christmas.
You.
That's Merry my Christmas. First Merry Christmas.
You got that out of the way, Wendy. Nicely
done. I know.
It felt
good. We're going to take a break, and the news is coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on 720 WGN. Broadcasting live from Tree Time. It's the Goodwill Tree Trade-In Program, sponsored by Goodwill and Tree Time. This October, remember, donate your artificial Christmas tree, and you'll be helping to give back to others in your community. When I walked into Tree Time today, I saw an abundance of Chicago Bears ornaments.
A bunch, yeah.
And Jarrett Payton is on the line with us. And Jarrett, I'm going to get you one for Christmas.
I think I have enough, Wendy.
Yeah, you probably
do. Listen, I'll take anything that you give me.
What size ornament do you wear, Jared? We're just curious. We want to get the right size.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I really want it for like a necklace or like
a chain. That would look nice.
So it's got to be big.
All right, the bigger the better. You got it, Jared.
All right, this is week 7. The Chicago Bears will take on the New Orleans Saints at Soldier Field. I'm feeling hopeful because, Jarrett, that's all I can tell you right now.
Well, that's what you got to be. Like we talked about, one game at a time. This is a big test, you know. I mean, after, you know, losing to the Raiders over in London, you had the bye week, which was crucial for, you know, this Bears team to hopefully get a little bit healthier. They did lose some guys in that process during the week that are going to be out for a little bit. But this is what you want. You normally, when you lose like that, you want to be able to play the next week. But this Bears team now is going up against one of the best teams in the NFC and with the Saints, and you have to be able to show up. The big thing is you get a chance to play them at home in front of your home crowd, and hopefully that will be a little bit more of a bonus, though, with the Bears fans loud, and hopefully that kind of messes up the Saints' offense, and the Bears' defense can find a way to get things going. But you guys, this is all about the Bears' offense. Can they get going this week and really be consistent? They've been inconsistent all season long. They have to be able to show they can put points on the board this week.
Jared, I keep hearing people say essentially what you just said. They need to get up for the game. They need to be more motivated. They know there's a game every weekend, except for the bye week, of course. Why do they seem to be confused by the fact that on Sunday it's game time? What's going on?
Bill, it's weird. I think the off week, though, it throws you off a little bit because it does give you a little bit of time to kind of relax and reflect on, you know, what's going on. This team is 3-2 right now. If you look at just those losses, I mean, even the Raiders loss, and you look at the Packers loss, I mean, those were games that even though people said they probably shouldn't have won, they had a chance to win those games. So this ball club has to get focused again. And now I think what the off week it does, it settles you down a little bit. You get to look at the film, and when you come off of a loss and you get a week to look at it, it makes you dive into the film just a little bit more than probably you would if you would have won. So, you know, the biggest question, you guys, is if Mitchell Trubisky is going to be underneath center or is it going to be Chase Daniel again? I think that's what we're waiting to hear. Matt Nagy's been noncommittal about who's going to be that guy, but I think we'll be finding out hopefully pretty soon.
Who would you rather see quarterback this weekend?
I really would like to see Mitchell Trubisky. I was a little frustrated because of I thought he started off that Vikings game a little bit more command and a little bit different than I've seen him early in the year. So for him to get injured so early on, it frustrated me because I know he needed that game. He needed that game to perform well, get a big win against a good defense like Minnesota, and hopefully that would have built confidence for him. So I want to see him play. I think he gives you an opportunity to win. But now, you know, you talk about a guy that hurt his shoulder. You have to stand in the back in the pocket, throw, maybe take a couple hits there. And we know he's young. He likes to use his legs and use his feet. That also, you know, opens you up to taking some big hits when you scramble a little bit and try to get first down. So he's going to have to be very careful if he is underneath center. Matt Nagy said if he does go, there's not going to be any restrictions. They're going to kind of open things up. And hopefully he can not only do that, but open up the passing game down the field to like Allen Robinson and some of these other guys.
Am I hearing this right, Jarrett? They're saying if he does play, his arm, his injured arm would be in a harness of some sort, right? That seems very susceptible to further injury.
Underneath your pads. I've had one before.
Yeah, that's happened
there's
before.
A lot.
Yeah.
What?
That's happened before, even to you, Jarrett, right?
Yeah, it's a weird deal how it's all set up underneath. But still, I mean, even in a harness, you can have it underneath those pads, and you have the pads over top of it. Still, when you get hit, that pain is still there. And so, you know, I know he had a week off, and he had a chance to really kind of be at Halas Hall in rehab. But still, that shoulder has to be tender, and it's going to be something that offensive line is going to have to figure out how to really, truly protect him and make him feel comfortable in the pocket.
Jarrett, I know this is a crazy question, but you're like, the offense has to get focused. They have to perform well. Here's the simple question. How do you make that happen? I mean, we have the talent, don't we?
Yeah, we do have talent, and, you know, it's been mind-boggling for a lot of people. I think a lot of Bears fans thought this Bears offense would be a little bit further along at this point of the season, especially, you know, last year, first year under Matt Nagy, and then a lot of people thought that Mitchell Trubisky would be a little bit further, but things happen, and you got to figure it out. And what happened last year is totally different, and we're seeing that this year. There's different struggles that come. This offense hasn't found a way, Wendy, to be balanced yet. And they have to find a way to be able to not only throw the ball, but run the ball as well. And they got to get the running game going. I know I'm a former running back, and my dad's a running back. That's what our family's all about. But I'm not just saying that. The running game has to get going. Like, if you want to be successful in the NFL, you got to be able to run the football. Every single year I'm at the Super Bowl to give out my dad's award, and I look at those two teams that are there every single year, and they're teams that can run the football and play good defense. And if you can't do that, there's no way you can win a championship. And I know the new day and age offenses want to spread everybody out, but you got a guy in David Montgomery who is your rookie, and you don't want to put a lot on his plate. Well, you might have to, because the young man can play. You might have to get back to old-fashioned football, running the football downhill, getting him going, let him get in space, because that takes a lot of pressure off of your quarterbacks, and it makes defenses have to play you a lot differently.
And the defense we're not that worried about, although are we with Akeem Hicks being out?
Oh, man.
Akeem Hicks
is like the sore spot, Wendy, sore spot.
No. Listen, Wendy, it's okay. It's just you think about what Akeem Hicks means on the football field, and you also think about what he means inside that locker room. And I know he's still going to be around this team for the next 8 weeks. He's going to be there mentoring guys. Blau Nichols, Nick Williams, guys like that are going to have to be able to step up now, because you saw the absence of him early on in that London game. The offense was able to run on them, and so you got to find a way to be able to stop that. Akeem is a big part of that, but this team has built depth of guys that can come in and make plays. So now guys are going to have to step up. They're going to have to pick up the slack with Akeem Hicks being out. He's a good guy. He's one of my favorites, and it's tough to see him out with the injury. But I know he is going to be vocal on the sidelines and in those meeting rooms, coaching these guys up to get them ready to go for the next few weeks while he's out.
Jarrett, the other night you had your Green Bay Packers playing the Detroit Lions, and the officiating was horrible, probably cost the Lions the game, so bad that the NFL the next day admitted that they made some huge mistakes and cost them a game. I'm not used to seeing that in the NFL. What's going on there?
Yeah, it's been one of probably the biggest storylines, Bill, of this NFL season so far, is that the officiating has been terrible. And you know, it's really tough because, you know, I'm watching that game with the Lions and Packers. I don't want either team to win. You know, I'm sitting there going, I don't care for either team. But then you start to think about it, and I had to put myself in the situation of being a former player and knowing how hard it is that, you know, one call or a couple calls can not go your way and can cost you the game. And I think that we're looking at one of, you know, what everybody loves to watch on Thursday nights, on Sunday nights, and on Mondays. It's such a big deal that we have all these things, all these camera angles, all these different review. We got to find a way to be able to get these things right, because when it comes down to it, at the end of the year, you know, one loss can be crucial to a team's success and going to the postseason. So I'm glad the NFL, you know, came out and said that they're wrong, but still, you got to find a way to get it right. Now that you said that, you got to find ways to be able to get things right, because watching it, it's so hard. And I know we're seeing it from different angles, and referees have, you know, their angles on the field. It's totally different, but got all these camera angles. We've got to find a way to be able to get these things right.
Get it right the first time. That's the main thing. Billy Joel said that, Jarrett. You can quote me on that.
Yeah, I love Billy Joel, man.
Me too. Yeah.
All right, Bill, I want you to tell Jarrett who I'm following on Twitter.
Matt Nagy. Hey.
No, it says Matt Nagy's visor.
Oh, his visor has its own website.
Has its own account. Oh. Can he make the switch, you know, to a full baseball cap? I think that would help.
I don't know. The visor for bald guys like myself, he rocks it very well. I have a hard time with visors because, you know, you got to have a little hair.
Wait, that's rocking
like us,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's nice because after the game, Jarrett, he can go deal blackjack at a casino if he wants to. It's fun.
Well, I think what we're going to see, though, in a little bit, as it gets colder here in Chicago, is that he's going to have to put on the stocking cap. So that's going to become pretty soon.
But he's going to put the visor over that.
Yeah.
I bet he wears.
Layers.
No.
You got to dress in layers.
That's right.
If he does that, that is a fashion no-no, okay? You cannot do that. You cannot put the visor over a skull cap. That is,
nope.
I will not let him do that.
All right,
League
well,
would fine him if he did that. He would.
Jarrett, let's hope for the best on Sunday. That's all I can tell you. Week number 7. He's Jarrett Payton, sports anchor for WGN-TV. And we love you, Jarrett. Too bad you're not
Thanks,
here.
Thanks, Jarrett.
We'd hug you.
Thank you, and don't forget to get my ornament. Thank you.
All right, don't worry. Don't forget his ornament. All right, a break and then a lot more show. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I like this song.
This is great.
All I want is you, Bill.
Ah, Wendy.
And a piece of Lou Malnati's.
Right.
I can't stand watching the listeners eat it.
Everybody's enjoying their Lou Malnati's, I hope. Everybody's having a good time. Yeah? All right, good, good, good.
Do you know what happened? This is the anniversary of something that happened 10 years ago, and I know you remember this.
All right, 10 years ago, something major happened. Did it happen in or around Chicagoland?
Fort Collins, Colorado.
Okay.
It was like something out of a comic book. A silver floating disc swept across Colorado's dusty plains on a clear October afternoon. This is the Balloon Boy hoax. Do you remember this?
Oh, sure. Balloon Boy.
Doesn't it seem like it was just 2 years ago?
Yeah.
It was 10 years ago.
Wow. Happy anniversary, Balloon Boy. Balloon Man now, I'm guessing, right?
Do you guys remember this? After working on it for weeks, this guy, Richard Heaney, the eccentric storm-chasing father of three boys, claimed he was testing this balloon in the backyard of his family's Fort Collins home when unexpectedly and untethered, it launched into the sky. Mm. They had a helicopter tracking it, and then he called authorities because his six-year-old son, Falcon, had been playing in the balloon all morning and unwittingly climbed into it before its unplanned takeoff.
Wow.
And then remember, it turned out to be a hoax.
It was all a hoax, yep.
That's a good hoax.
Right. Great hoax.
But that was 10 years ago.
Authorities should have taken the kid away just for being named Falcon. That's all it would take for me.
Well, falcons fly.
True. No, that's true. Yeah.
Millions of people watched that balloon soar over Colorado as TV stations and newspapers picked up the coverage. It spread around the world. Young Falcon became internationally known as Balloon Boy. And then his parents' story started to fall apart.
Didn't they have a family press conference where the Balloon Boy kept getting sick? Like when they'd ask him a question, he would get sick to his stomach? Didn't
I don't
does anyone
remember
that? Just me? You do? Okay, somebody does remember it, Wendy. I remember he was on national news, and they would ask him questions about being stuck in the balloon, and he got physically ill. He couldn't stand to answer these questions because he was lying. You can't lie, Wendy. Lying's bad.
It makes you sick to your stomach.
It makes you sick to your stomach.
You have another story in the news.
Are you familiar? Does anyone know the actress Jamie Presley? Do you know who this is?
She was on My Name is Earl,
yeah,
right?
Very attractive woman. Now she's on the show Mom with Allison Janney,
yeah.
Right? All right. So she is responding to criticism because she has three children, and she has been referring to one of these three children as her favorite.
She's obviously kidding, isn't she?
No. The mom star, the star of the show Mom.
She shouldn't be on that show.
Right, they should revoke her acting license. Attracted backlash after referring to her 12-year-old son, Desi, as her favorite in an Instagram post, despite also having twins, Leo and Lennon, with her longtime boyfriend. Discussing the drama during the appearance on The Talk on Tuesday, Presley stood by her controversial remarks. She said, "I was just being honest. I mean, look. I love all three of my boys, but the two little ones are twins, and they're turning two tomorrow, so the 12-year-old is my favorite. All three of my boys are my favorites for different reasons, but when it comes to things like traveling on an airplane, the 12-year-old is my favorite. When it comes to dressing yourself, he can dress himself, but the twins, they don't know how to even say the word shirt. So he's my favorite for many reasons. That doesn't mean that I don't genuinely love all three of my boys," she continued. "So all parents need to relax."
All right. She should have said my 12-year-old is the easiest.
Right. Not the favorite, but the easiest. But be honest, aren't there times, not all the time, but sometimes where you have two boys where one of them is of the two your favorite?
It's a fluctuating favoritism, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But no, I mean, like...
Overall, it balances out, but...
I don't have a favorite.
No?
You can't say one is a favorite. I can be mad at one and not the other, but
yeah.
I know who your favorite daughter is, and you do have twins.
Yeah, I have a favorite. No, I don't. I don't have a favorite. Just a show of hands, and we're not going to out you on radio, I promise. Of your children, do you sometimes have a favorite? About a quarter, 20% of the crowd.
That's a high estimate.
Yeah.
There were three people.
Yeah.
And one of them's Ernie.
Ernie counts double because he works for us.
I don't have a favorite.
No.
I swear to God I don't.
But isn't it kind of based on the situation at the time? There are certain things that you enjoy doing with one more than the other. Not overall, not 100%.
But that doesn't make that kid your favorite.
Yeah.
I don't think moms can be that way.
No.
I like the dog better than all of them, quite honestly.
Wow. I hope you've shared this with the boys.
They're at school now. They're not listening.
No. I just know with my daughters, there are things that one of them likes to do, and if I'll do it, it like one of my daughters loves to go to sporting events, and the other one can't stand it. So for sporting events, one is the favorite of the other.
I still wouldn't use that term. I would say I go to sporting events.
Events, yeah.
With Kylie.
Yeah, right.
What do you do with Reese?
Arts and crafts. She's big into the arts and crafts. So if I were to find a box of popsicle sticks, I would call Reese over anytime over Kylie. No question.
But that's just who you choose to go to a thing with. I don't think it's favoritism. I don't think you like Kylie better than Reese when you're at a Cubs game or whatever.
No. She's just closer by. We have that.
So that's who your favorite is, whoever's next to you.
Whoever's nearest to me is my favorite. Yeah, that's healthy, right?
I don't think it's right to have a favorite. I don't think you're a good dad.
Now, this is a horrible thing, but this is true. There are six kids in my wife's family. And I said to her, not because of this story, but I've said to her in the past, I can tell you the exact pecking order of who is number one all the way through number six. And she said, that's ridiculous. And I said, you make out a list and I'll make out a list and we'll see how it goes. And we had the numbers one through six in the exact same order.
Usually the firstborn is the favorite in my experiences. I know I'm the baby of my family and I got babied, but you're the firstborn. Jimmy Mack is the firstborn. It just seems my sister is the firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like you always remember your first.
Interesting. Is that true? Do you guys think that's true? Is the firstborn normally the favorite? No?
The baby? Ernie says the baby. My mom liked me the least.
Of the three?
Did she really?
Yes. Yeah, why do you say that?
Because I was more trouble than the other two.
Oh, okay. All right. So just based on ease of living, you were number three. But that's still, you still cracked the top three. That's still... You
yep,
still finished. You still
three.
Get a medal. You still get the bronze. Did your brother and sister feel that they, like, did they ever say, well, obviously I'm the favorite, you're third? Like, was it known
throughout
the family?
Oh, they told me I was adopted. They're 2 years apart, and they're 7 and 9 years older than me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I always pretended I had cooler parents anyway.
Don't you think?
Like the Bradys were my parents.
Don't you think most kids, if you come from a family that has multiple children, don't you think almost every kid in the family feels they are not the favorite?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's not good. That's why you should post the running order on your refrigerator with a magnet of who's number one all the way to the bottom. Then there's no question. Everybody knows.
We'll talk to Dean Richards. We'll find out if he was his mom's favorite.
Yeah.
I think he was.
Yeah. I think
so. And he'll admit it probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So we'll do some news. We are live at Tree Time. Hi, everybody.
You're our favorites, everybody. Other audiences applied to come in, but we chose you. You're our favorites.
If you'd like to come out, we're here till 1. We're going to do the bonus hour here. And people have enjoyed Lou Malnati's pizza, and now they're having nothing bunt cakes, buntlets.
Oh, delicious.
I always wanted to be a buntlet.
Yeah.
Isn't that just fun?
Never too late, Wendy.
All right, so we're going to do some news, and then Dean Richards will tell us about movies that are opening this weekend. We are live here at Tree Time, and today's broadcast is sponsored by the Goodwill Tree Trade-In Program. Tree Time and Goodwill coming together this October. You can donate your artificial Christmas trees, and you'll be helping to give back to others in your community. News time right now at 720 WGN.
Which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry? If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points. Dean.
Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. We're at Tree Time Christmas Creations in Lake Barrington. Could you all say the words "Hi, Dean" to Dean so he knows how much you love him?
One, two, three. Hi, Dean.
People
love you, Dean.
Aww. And I know you love it here, Dean.
I wanted to come out there and be with you guys, but I couldn't swing it with a couple of other things that I've got to do today.
Yep.
But I do love it there.
You're going to broadcast yourself from here very soon, right?
We are. I believe the date is going to be November 10th. So
can you guys stick around till November 10th? Yeah, everybody's in. No one's going anywhere, Dean.
Yeah, do some shopping while you're there.
Right, absolutely.
Do some shopping.
All right, much to discuss with you. But first, Dean, before we get to this week's movies, what about this thing with Martin Scorsese where he's taking shots at the Marvel Avengers movies? What do you make of this? You know the story, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, he said that Marvel movies are more like a theme park than an actual movie, that it lacks human emotion and all the things that he feels are requisite to be a great movie. I would disagree with that.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that maybe he's only seen Deadpool. That may be.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe he hasn't seen some of the other ones. But if somebody can look at either of the last two Avengers movies and say that they lack human emotion and don't have qualities that you look for in a movie, I would say that he's very mistaken. You know, that said, everyone's entitled to their point of view. It's obviously not his kind of movie. Robert Downey came to the defense of Marvel movies, as have many of the other Marvel players, disagreeing with him and saying, hey, you know, so what? We all have different opinions.
So what's in it for
him,
do you think?
I like to see some of the Marvel people come out after this Irishman movie comes out and trash that.
Right.
Trash that and say, hey, Robert De Niro didn't even have a cape on.
That would make all things equal.
Yeah.
What do you think is in it for him? He's one of our greatest filmmakers. Why would he go out on a limb and say this? It doesn't make sense,
I think that just somebody asked him. I don't think that he went out of his way, that he had an agenda to trash Marvel movies. I think that somebody asked him a difficult question. Not a difficult question, but they brought it up. He didn't. And he was honest about it.
Yeah. Since we're at Tree Time, I have a Christmas-related question for you, Dean, and that is this. Every year at Christmas time, that's one of the biggest parts of the movie year. Your Oscar nominee or Oscar contenders, I guess, always come out during the months of November and December. Which are the movies that will be out this year that people in the business are looking forward to the most, yourself included? What are the big Christmas movies of this year?
The movies that are going to be opening just before Christmas or at Christmas time will be Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, that's going to open on the 20th of December. That's when the big movies are going to be opening. Cats, the big screen version of the stage musical, is going to be opening. And I'm so curious about this because I may be the only critic in the world that hates Cats.
Yes.
Everybody else...
big cat fans.
Loves it, both the play and the animal.
Yes. Yes.
I am now. I'm allergic. In real life, I'm allergic to cats. So I, in that sense, I don't like being around cats because I get a reaction to that.
Does that mean you are allergic to the musical as well?
Having tried, I've tried to see this musical half a dozen times, thinking this time is the time I'm going to get it.
Right.
This is the time that I'm going to slap my head, self in the head, and go, that's what I've been missing all these years. That's yet to happen so far, though. So I would say, yes, that I am allergic to the stage musical.
Will theaters that show the movie Cats have to have a litter box in the corner of the theater, Dean? How are they going to work
And a scratching
work?
Post. I've heard,
and a scratching post.
I've heard, that they're going to be adding extra litter boxes.
Uh-huh.
And which, really, for most movies, it wouldn't hurt them to have a litter box in most of the theaters.
Right.
The sloppiest most of the people are.
Right.
Where do you go see movies? I mean, come on.
Scott's Pet Shop in Westchester.
You don't go to movies where the floor is sticky and dirty.
Yep.
And it's you don't want to touch anything.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to admit the trailer for Cats, Dean, was one of the most hysterically bad trailers in history, right? You've seen it, right?
Yes,
it's horrible.
I think I think it is what it is. It's,
yeah.
If you like that, I know people who loved it and they can't wait for this movie to come out.
All right.
I am very curious to see what they're going to do with this movie. To see Idris Elba. In a kitty cat suit.
Oh, yes. I'm going now.
I sold a ticket, Dean.
I think is very interesting. Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah, Taylor Swift.
Is Grisabella. She Jennifer Hudson, gets to sing the signature song from the movies, Midnight and the Kitties Are Playing. What is that?
Midnight and the Kitties Are Sleeping.
Memories
All Alone in the... I will go see this
Wendy's
now that
in.
I know who's in it. I've never seen Cats, so this will be my first time, and I think I'm going.
Not good. We can.
I'll review it.
get together again and.
All right.
Compare,
wow, this is star-studded.
Compared notes. So we've got Star Wars. We've got the Cats.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the next Jumanji movie. Jumanji Next Level is going to be opening just before Christmas time. That's with The Rock and Kevin Hart and Jack Black.
Yeah,
we've got the Mr. Rogers movie.
That
Tom
I want to
Hanks.
See. Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be opening for Thanksgiving on November 22nd, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
Frozen 2 is going to be opening for Thanksgiving also.
Wendy is wincing at the idea
There's
of Frozen 2.
There's a lot
2.
Of crap coming out.
Wendy,
I'm sorry.
Did you not like the original Frozen?
I didn't see
you
Frozen.
You didn't see Frozen? Oh. Frozen was good, Dean, wasn't it?
I enjoyed Frozen.
Yeah, we like Frozen, Wendy.
Jumanji, Frozen, really?
Yeah. How about Frozen Jumanji, Dean? Wouldn't that be a great movie?
I don't know if you know, that's the latest dinner entree from Seattle Sutton.
Thaw and enjoy. That's the
I enjoy an Acapulco taco pie and a frozen Jumanji. Mm. And I still say below my calories and sodium count.
Look at you.
Mm.
But I don't, I don't hate these movies. So I don't go in thinking I'm going to be seeing Casablanca or, something, a Brainiac. I'm going,
you know what it is.
It's mind candy. They are what they are. You get a few laughs out of it. If Frozen 2 is anything like Frozen, the kids are going to go crazy and love it.
Yeah.
What else do we have coming out then? There's every holiday there's a anti-Christmas movie that comes out. Like a bad Santa.
Right.
Some kind of irreverent movie, and there's one called Black Christmas this year. That's going to be coming out just before.
Is that a horror movie or a comedy?
I think it's just an irreverent Christmas movie.
Oh, all right.
Comedy is what I'm hearing. So, you know, there's
a lot to look forward to.
There's a lot to come out. And in the meantime, we've got Charlie's Angels, the latest version of Charlie's Angels, coming out in a couple of weeks. We've got.
Sorry, I rolled my eyes.
Could you hear Wendy's eyes roll when you said that, Dean?
I could hear people laughing as though eyes were rolling in the background.
They've run out of ideas. Oh. That's just it.
Oh, it's an all new cast, though, Wendy.
It's a Charlie's Angels for a new generation.
Yeah.
Isn't Charlie a woman or something?
Well, yeah, I think so.
I didn't know that.
I think so from
that's
the
excellent.
New. See?
Yeah.
You know, this they got some Batman news today. That's not going to come out until next year.
Mm-hmm.
That this is the movie in which Robert Pattinson from the Twilight movies, he's going to be Bruce Wayne in the new Batman movie. And they just signed Zoe Kravitz to be Catwoman.
She's going
to
be great.
In this, I think that's going to be great.
But is that instead of Jonah Hill?
Well, Jonah Hill as Catwoman.
Not as Catwoman, although that's a movie. I mean, that can't miss.
Meow. I said meow. Yeah.
Right.
Yes, meow, what? Did.
With a lot of
got a problem?
Points.
You meowing at me? You meowing at me? Jonah Hill was supposed to be the villain in that movie. And they were in talks. Apparently they were close to signing all this. But then at the last minute, Jonah Hill decided he did not want to be in it.
No.
Spoiled sport.
Disappointing. Dean, hold that thought. We have to take a quick break. We'll be back with more of Dean Richards. Dean will tell you what movies are coming out this weekend, so stick around. It's Bill and Wendy at Tree Time in Lake Barrington on WGN.
Santa, tell me if you're really there. Don't make me fall in love again.
It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. We're at Tree Time Creations in Lake Barrington. The crowd is fed, and they're going to be taking a nap soon, so we have to hurry. Dean Richards is on the line. Dean is telling us what movies we need to see and which to avoid this weekend.
I am so impressed that you actually have Mariah Carey there with you.
Yes. She did a nice job.
Wow.
Yep.
That's impressive.
Yep.
I know that she's been saying that she's wanted to come to Lake Barrington for a long time.
Right. Today was the day, Dean.
So that's fantastic. Hey, do you want some entertainment breaking news?
Yeah, do you have any entertainment breaking news?
Yeah, during the break, the word just was released that Stephen Colbert has signed an extension to his CBS contract that will keep him on The Late Show through August of 2023.
Oh, that's excellent news. Good. He's very, very good at what he does.
Yeah.
That's very, very
good. Listen to the applause.
Yes, many people here applauded out loud, Dean.
Stephen
it was exciting. Yep.
How else do you applaud?
I didn't think they let liberal people in Barrington Hills.
Oh, there are.
That's nice.
Yeah, there definitely are. All right, let's talk about this week's movies. We will start out with Angelina Jolie's performance in Maleficent, Mistress of Evil. What can you tell us?
Did you see the original Maleficent?
I did not. Why? Do you need to see it to enjoy this one?
Well, it'll help a lot if you've seen the first one. Here's what you need to know.
Yeah.
That Angelina Jolie is sort of a witch, a kind of a spirit, a fairy, but can be very evil when crossed.
Yeah.
When crossed. Yeah. She, in the original movie, took in a little mortal child. And has raised her as her own.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now this child is a beautiful young girl.
Yes.
Played by Elle Fanning.
Oh, she's good.
She has fallen in love with a handsome prince.
Oh.
Now that's the best kind. If you're going to fall in love with a prince,
get a handsome one.
If you can get
knowing
yourself
my luck,
a handsome. Right. You get the frog.
Yeah.
You get the toad.
Yeah. But he'd have a crown.
She she falls in love with this handsome prince who is also immortal. Yeah. So Maleficent, the Angelina Jolie character, is not very happy that this is about to happen, nor is the prince's mother, who is the queen of a nearby land, played by Michelle Pfeiffer. She's a pretty evil queen, as a matter of fact. And she uses this the joining of the two as a reason to start a war between her kingdom of mortal humans and this land of gnomes and fairies.
Yeah.
And that's really kind of the storyline of this whole movie. It's a very old-fashioned kind of Disney story that's, you know, good versus evil. It's not afraid to be very evil and to be very comic book violent. Mm-hmm. In the film, there are moments that could be a little scary. I mean, for some kids, this movie could be a little bit intense. But the story is good. The performances are good. The special effects all are very good. But I wound up giving it a Dean's List B. I liked it.
All right. That sounds good. And
you know me. I love a good fairy movie.
Everybody does, Dean. It's Maleficent, Mistress of Evil. Wendy did the play version at the Candlelight Dinner Theater years ago.
With Ray Rayner?
Didn't you co-star
with Ray Rayner in that?
Yeah, and Billy Deck was in it also.
And Billy Deck.
And what about Zombieland Double Tap?
Now, did you see the original Zombieland movie?
Yes.
Oh, good. Did you like
it? Loved it.
I liked the original, which was about 5 years ago. No, it was almost 10 years ago, actually.
Yeah.
Well, now most of the originals are back. Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg, Emma Stone is back, and so is the younger character who's Abigail Breslin.
Breslin. Yeah.
They're all back. They are humans living in a world in which zombies have taken over. And it's an extremely irreverent take on all of this. Mm-hmm. If you think zombie movies and you think Walking Dead or some of the kind of traditional zombie stories, this is nothing like that.
These are funny zombies?
These are funny zombies, funny people, other humans that they run into along the way while they're fighting the zombies. In this new movie, they're sort of supercharged kind of zombies. They're faster and smarter, and they're not the kind of zombies that just sort of, you know, limp along. These are zombies that are a little more challenging. So this core group from the original movie have to find new ways to fight them, and along the way, as they're trying to get from point A to point B, they run into all kinds of hilarious situations. It's very irreverent. It's very funny. And it is extremely violent and bloody, very, very graphically violent and bloody, even by zombie movie standards. So know that going into it. That said, I laughed my head off at this movie.
Oh, good. Good.
No pun intended with that, yeah. With the zombies. But I gave it a Dean's List B+. Really
liked
it.
Quick question on it, Dean. Bill Murray was hysterical in the first one. Is he in the second one or not in the second one?
All I will say regarding that is when you think the movie is over and the credits start to roll, do not get out of your seat.
Oh.
Thanks for that tip.
Okay. That
looks really funny.
There is a very, very funny scene that's in the middle of the credits.
Yes.
That will address the question that you've just asked me about Bill Murray.
Good. Very, very good.
Excellent.
Dean, always fun to talk to you. Dean will be here at Tree Time November 10th. The audience has vowed to not leave this room until you get here, Dean. Everyone's still staying where they are. It's Dean Richards. Thank you so much, Dean.
All I got to say is somebody keep an eye on Bill. He's got very sticky fingers when he's doing shows.
Yes, I do.
In retail settings.
Yep.
Thank you so much, Dean. We appreciate it.
See you guys. Bye, everybody.
Bye, Dean.
We are broadcasting live from Tree Time. It's the Goodwill Tree Trade-In Program, sponsored by Goodwill and Tree Time. And don't forget this October to donate your artificial Christmas tree, and you'll be helping to give back to others in your community. We'll take a quick break, and news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, 720 WGN.